Welcome to another Parables of the Bible group of messages. We're on message number 5 at this time. We're talking about the parables of the whole Bible. Parables of the Old Testament, parables of the New Testament. There's parables and figures of speech all through the Bible. There's similes, which means something similar to something else that's put down there so you can understand the hidden meaning of the object you're talking about. There's parable, something that's thrown down beside another thing. That's a Greek word, para and balo. So we can see a spiritual truth from a physical world. There's types, which the Lamb of God was a type. The lambs that were sacrificed in Israel were a type of Jesus to come. The tabernacle was a type of Jesus to come. The hyperbole is an exaggeration. The allegory is to say something different. Riddles. There are metaphors, which means to carry across. And proverbs, which is a very short, magnificent statement. Now, one of our textbooks is the All the Parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. And we're on page number 22 at this time. And we're just going to read about part of two pages here. It said, the multiformity of the parables. What a variety and diversity represented in the Bible parables. Truly, they are unique for their description, imagery, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The writers of the Bible ransacked every realm of fitting vehicles of expression of divine truth. And it makes them all to illustrate the matchless wonder of God's Word. The story we're going to talk about is the grace of God follows Joseph. We're going to see the grace of God follow Joseph throughout his life today. And it takes them all to illustrate the matchless wonder of God's Word, which is radiant in its wealth and parabolic material. The spiritual realm. Parables associated with heaven and hell and cherubs and angels in the spiritual realm. Parables illustrate that. They use natural phenomena, parables connected with the sun, light, lightning, earthquakes, fire, clouds, storm, rain, rocks, animate nature, parables related to creatures, horses, beasts, lions, eagles, camels, oxen, sheep, lambs, wolves, donkeys, foxes, swine, dogs, goats, fish, birds, and serpents, and dragons. Parables illustrated by plants, trees, thorns, thistles, figs, olives, sycamore, almonds, grapes, reeds, lilies, anise, mint, vine, cedar, bramble, and cumin. Parables are symbolized by metals. Gold is a type of divinity. Silver is a type of redemption. Brass is a type of judgment. Iron is a type of hardness and strength. Human life. The range of parabolic illustrations is very wide. Physical, flesh, blood, eye, ear, hands, feet, hunger, thirst, sleep, sickness, laughing, weeping, death, domestic houses, lamps, seats, food, oven, cooking, bread, salt, birth, mothers, wives, sisters, brothers, children, service, marriage, treasures, pastoral fields, valleys, shepherds, sheep, husbandmen, soil, seed, tillage, sowing, growth, harvest, and vineyards, and orchards, commercial fishermen, tailor, builder, merchant, businessman, bushel, talents, money, and debts, banking, civil. There's slavery, robbery, violence, judgment, punishment, taxes, the social area. There's marriage, hospitality, feast, journeys, and salutations. Religions. Tabernacle, temple, alms, tithes, fasting, prayer, Sabbath. The succeeding pages will serve to show the Bible parables are superb illustration, illustrative comparisons telling out a divine story. They can be defined as narratives expressing imagined for the purpose of representing a religious truth or a pictorial figure, and that was on page 23. Now let's go to our main textbook, the Bible. Let's go to the book of Bereshith. The book of Bereshith, the book of Genesis. Genesis number 37. Genesis chapter 37. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had pilgrimed, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing a flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph. Now Israel is the name of Jacob that God gave to him. So we're looking at Israel here as the covenanted, as the administrator of God's kingdom during this period of time. Now Jacob or Israel loved Joseph more than all of his sons because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic. This means he made this coat of many colors, which represented that he was going to be the heir and the patriarch of the family after Joseph, or after Jacob. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Now here's the dream. This is the parable. This is the allegory. This is the metaphor. And he said to them, please listen to the dream which I have had. Now this dream here is a hypnose. It's a hypnotic trance that God struck him in. And the Greek word for this is hypnose, which we'll get our hypnotism from, or hypnosis. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? So that they hated him even more for all of his dreams and for all of his words. Now he still had another dream. Still another dream. Related to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another hypnotic trance, and behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually bow down ourselves down before you to the ground? And his brothers were very jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in his heart and in his mind. Now, Joseph is sent out to check on his brothers. And Jacob said to him, go, my son, in verse 14. Go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, because Jacob could trust Joseph. And bring word back to me. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. That's quite a little way. And a man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, what are you looking for? And he said, I am looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing the flock. So he told him, then a man said, they have moved from here, and I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. And they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They hated Joseph. And they said one to another, here comes the dreamer. Now let him come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. The pits there were basically cesspools. Cesspools, old abandoned cisterns that were not fit to hold water anymore, so they made cesspools out of them where they threw trash and dead bodies and feces and urine and all of that. And he will say, a wild beast devoured him, and let us see what will become his dreams. But Reuben heard this. Now Reuben means see a son. He's the oldest boy. And he rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. Reuben further said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit. that is in the wilderness, do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of the hands to restore him to his father. Now, Reuben wanted to save him. This is the oldest boy, and he takes responsibility for this. So it came by when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very cut of tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty and didn't have any water in it. And they took him and threw him into the pit. Then they sat down to eat a meal. And the Ishmaelites were coming from the land of Gilead with their camels, bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh and, by the way, opium. Opium was a rich man's medicine. On the way to go down into Egypt. And Judah Saul said to his brothers, "What profit is for to kill our brother and cover it up? His blood. Come now, let's sell him to these Ishmaelites, not lay hands on him, for he is our brother in our flesh," and his brothers listened to him. Then came some Midianite traders. Now they're going to sell him two times before he ever gets out of the pit. Traders passed by, and they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Reuben was he returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his garments. He returned to his brothers, said, "The boy is not here. Where am I to go?" Now he was responsible to his father to tell him what happened. So they took Joseph's tunic, and they slaughtered a male goat, and dipped the blood in the tunic in the blood, and they sent the varicolored coat and brought it to their father and said, "We found this. Please examine it and see whether it is your son's coat or not." Then he examined it and said, "It is my son's tunic, and a wild beast has devoured him, and Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." So Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. All of his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "Surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son." So his father wept for him many, many, many days. Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. Now what he actually was, he was a eunuch. Potiphar was a eunuch. Now, we go into the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, which is a sad story about Judah. A sad story about Judah. Judah married a Canaanite woman and had three children by her, three sons that are quoted. And God hated those boys. He went out and got this beautiful woman named Tamar and married her to the first son, and God killed the first son, and God killed the second son, and he was afraid to give him to the third son, and she was getting older, and he promised her the last son so that he could raise seed to his other brother. Well, he's afraid to give her to her, and she dressed herself up like a prostitute, went out by the roadside, and Judah propositioned her. And she had sex with him, and he gave her his belt, his staff, and his signet ring. And then when he found out she was pregnant later on, that he said, "Who did this? Who brought this shame upon you?" And she said, "The man whose belt this is, whose ring this is, and whose staff this is." And all of them had Judah's lineage on it. Then she has two sons, Perez and Zerah. Then we go to the 39th chapter. We see the character of Judah in the 38th chapter. Now we see the character of Joseph in the 39th chapter. Character means a lot. Character means a lot. Let's look at the character of this man of God. Joseph, in over 70 ways, was a type of Christ to come. A type of Christ to come. Remember, we talked about types. We talked about parables. We talked about these things. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, an Egyptian Saris is what it means. He is a eunuch. an Egyptian eunuch, of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house and of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. The grace of God followed Joseph wherever he went. Grace of God followed Joseph. How the Lord caused all that he had to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight, found grace in his sight, and became his personal servant. And he made him oversee over all of his complete house and all that he owned and put in his charge. Now Joseph was not a eunuch. Potiphar was a eunuch. Joseph was not a eunuch. Potiphar had a wife, basically for decoration of the house. And it came about from that time they made him overseer in the house and over all that he owned. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian house on account of Joseph. And this, the Lord's blessing, was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything that he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. And now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and he wasn't a eunuch either. And it came about after these things, the events of his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Now remember, this woman is married to a man that is impotent. He is totally emasculated. He is a eunuch. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house that he has put all this that he has in my charge. And there is no one greater in this house than I am, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And it came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went down into the house to do this work, and none of the other men of the household was there within the house. He was alone. Nobody was there. No other workers, no other servants, no other slaves. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought this Hebrew," and that means man, "beyond the river, to us to make sport of us. And he came to me and tried to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard this that I raised my voice and screamed, that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside, out in the street. So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came to me and made sport of me, made fun of me." Now this is a disgraced woman that has become very mad at this man because he won't lie with her. Remember, her husband is a eunuch. Joseph is not a eunuch. And this woman is Zulekha. Zulekha, according to the book of Jasher, chapter 44, pages 95 through 98, tells you the whole story of this. "And it happened, as I raised my voice and screamed, that he left his garment beside me and fled." Now, Potiphar doesn't believe the story, because if Potiphar really believed the story, you know what he would have done? He would have executed Joseph without further ado. Now, it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what the slave did to me," that his anger burned. I think his anger burned more against his wife than it did Joseph. But he had to save face. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph. The grace of God followed Joseph and extended grace to him and gave him grace and favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners that were in jail, so that whatever he had done there, he was responsible for it. Joseph is followed by the grace of God. Now, in chapter 40, we find out that Joseph interprets the dreams of some of the people that have been put in jail. And this interpretation is correct. And Joseph told the one, the cupbearer, when you go back to there was a baker and a cupbearer, when you go back to Pharaoh's house, remember me, what I've done. And now we go to chapter 41. Chapter 41 of Genesis and verse number 1. Now it happened at the end of the 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And behold, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Now here we have an allegory or a parable or a story. This is a dream now. Then behold, some other cows came after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt and skinny, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile, on the lip of the Nile, is what it literally says. And the ugly and the gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain came up in a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up. This east wind is usually a hot wind. Then the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now it came about in the morning that his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all his magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men in Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I will make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, behold me and the chief baker. We had a dream that night, each of us, and there was a Hebrew man, and he told us, and he interpreted the dream to us. And I know that he's still down there. He said, he told me that you would restore my office to me, and the other one would be hung. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. They hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. These Egyptians were extremely clean people. These people took baths every day. They shaved themselves. And no unclean person was going to come in their presence. So Joseph had to take a bath and shave and clean himself up and paint himself like he was an Egyptian. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. I've had a hypnose. I've had a hypnotic trance, but no one can interpret me. And I've heard it and said to you. And when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph then answered Pharaoh and said, it is not in me, God. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So Pharaoh spoke to him, and he told him about the dream. And as we come on down, and he told him the interpretation of that dream, and verse number 30, and he said, after the 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land, so the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be a very severe. Verse 32, now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. And now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over all the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh take action to appoint an overseer in charge of the land, and let him exact 20% of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. That is the fifth. And let him gather all the food of these good years and coming store up grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. And let the food become as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh, and so what he did was make Joseph ruler over all of Egypt. Nothing was done. Nothing was done without Joseph's approval. Verse number 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it into Joseph's hand and clothed him with him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee." And he set him over all the land of Egypt. All the men would bow down to Joseph, as he said in his dreams earlier. We had a dream, and then we have another dream, and another dream, and another dream. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or set his foot down in all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zephaniah-Paneah. Zephaniah-Paneah. Zephaniah-Paneah means the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. And he gave him Aseneth, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. And his wife and Joseph went forth in the land of Egypt. Now, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went to all the land of Egypt. This is a type of Christ in so many ways, a type of Christ. Pharaoh gave him the name Savior of the world. Jesus is Savior of the world. John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." In other words, he's the Savior of the whole world. And he did. Not only did he do that, but he went out to all the land and he taxed the people and he saved up all of this produce, all of the wheat, all of the rye, all the barley, and he sold it back to the people. And in the end, Pharaoh owned all of the land of Egypt. There was no private ownership at all. He had owned it all. So Joseph had handed it to Pharaoh, all the whole possession of all the land. Jesus Christ, by his merits as a Savior of the world, one day will be the King of glory in the millennial reign of Christ. He will bring the whole world under his reign and under his power, and not a thing on this earth will be done without the permission of Jesus. All during the 7 years, they brought abundantly. Now the sons of Joseph, now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Aseneth, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bore before him. And Joseph named the first son Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all of my troubles and all of my father's household." And he named the second Ephraim, for he said, "God has made me fruitful." Ephraim means fruitful. Now Joseph means to increase also in the land of my affliction. And then it says that basically Joseph ended up buying all the land of all the people after the famine had come. And now we have Joseph's brothers sent to Egypt by Jacob or Israel to buy grain in the land because there's no grain there. There's nothing for them to eat there. And by the way, Egypt is an irrigated land. It's an irrigated land. And so Egypt did not have to depend upon rainfall. They had the Nile River and they had irrigation. The word Metzraim is Egypt. And it's Egyptos from the Greek language that we have it in English. But Metzraim means a land of red mud and canal banks and reservoirs. So Joseph greets his brothers. And he treats them very harsh, and they don't know him, but he knows them. And he accuses them of being spies, and he holds Simeon as a hostage. And they deserve all of this. And they say that God has told on us. And Reuben said then, saying, "Did I not tell you," in verse number 22 in the 42nd chapter, "do not sin against the boy." This is the oldest boy, Reuben. "And you will not listen. Now comes a reckoning for his blood." And they did not know, however, that Joseph understood for there was an interpreter between them and him. And he turned away from them, and he wept. And when he returned to them, he spoke to them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. And he's going to hold him there. And he said, don't come back to this land until you bring your little brother with you. Don't come back. And now in the 43rd chapter of the book of Genesis, we find that they return to Jesus. They return to Egypt. And by the way, Egypt is a type of the world. Jesus came down to Egypt, a type of the world. God the Son, in John 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning kept on being the Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being in a separate part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. And then in John 1:14, it says, Kai halo go sarx agento, and the Word of the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among men, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and full of truth. And here we have Joseph as a type of Christ. And he tells them in 43, and Judah said to his father Israel, send the lad with me, that I may raise up and go, that we may live and not die, as well as our little ones. I myself will be surety for him, and you may hold me responsible for him. It's Judah now. If I did not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame before you forever. For if we did not delay, surely by now we could have returned twice. And now we have the children of Israel going down to Egypt, and they're going to bring Benjamin with them. Benjamin is Joseph's full brother by Rachel. And it says, and Joseph found them. They brought presents to him and doubled the money. And then they showed him his brother. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his house steward, bring the men into the house and slay an animal, and make ready for the men are to dine with me at noon. Verse 17. And a man did as Joseph said, and brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid, because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, it is because the money that is returned in our sacks the first time that we are being brought in. And now they got a terrible guilty conscience. These boys have a terrible guilty conscience. They don't know what. They think God's going to kill them, and God's going to tell on them. Now we find out that Joseph gave Benjamin twice as much as anybody else, and he showed great favor to him, and that the brothers take off. And Joseph tells one of his servants to hide his cup in the sack of Benjamin. And everybody's on their way, and Pharaoh's army and Joseph's army go out, and they intercept Jacob's sons. And they said, what do you want? And so he said, somebody stole the master's cup and the money and all that he has. Why have you treated the master like this? And they went and looked at everybody's sack, and finally they came to Benjamin's sack, and there all of it was in Benjamin's sack, along with the divining cup of Joseph, this platter, this cup. So they take him back, and they come before Joseph. And in the 44th chapter, and verse 27, they're brought before Joseph, and they're crying. And your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. And the one went after out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if you take this one also from me, and harm befalls him, you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol, the place of departed spirits, in sorrow. Therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will come about that when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. Thus your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant and our father down to Sheol in sorrow. He's going to die. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, If I do not bring him back to you, then let me bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest I see the evil that would overtake my father? Then Joseph could not control himself any longer, and he wept. And verse number 3, And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. It is my father. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, Please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Jesus came into the world to save all that would come. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Now therefore, it is not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord to all of his household, and ruler of all the land of Egypt. Hurry now and go up to my father. And they said, Thus says your son, Joseph, God has made me lord of all of Egypt, and come down to me and do not delay. Now, we see that God appears to Jacob one more time. Here in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, God assured Israel that his covenant was still true. So Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a hypnotic trance. Here we have another hypnotic trance. We have another vision of the night, and said to Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. And I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again. And Joseph will close your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took the livestock, actually what's called portable property, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and came to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, all of his sons and grandsons. Now let's go to the 49th chapter. The 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, Bereshit. Now Jacob is down into Egypt. Israel is down into Egypt. And Israel is about to die. And so he calls all his sons around him and all his grandsons. He said, Gather and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. He talked about Reuben and how that he dishonored him. Then he goes on down to the 8th verse. He curses the wrath of Simeon and Levi. And he said, I'm going to scatter you in Israel. Levi never had any inheritance, we know. But they became, by grace, they became the Levites. They became the priest of God. Isn't that something, how the grace of God follows? And he said, Judah, your brother shall praise you, and your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies, and your father's son shall bow down to you. Here we have now, Jacob is telling us who is going to be the lion of the tribe of Judah, whereby the Messiah will come. Not Joseph, but the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah, by grace, Judah was the one that hired the prostitute. He was the one that hired the prostitute, and the prostitute got pregnant and had two sons, Perez and Zerah. And through Perez, we will see that Jesus comes through that line. Judah is now a lion's whelp. From every prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches and he lies down as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And as a lion, who dares rouse him up? And the scepter, who shall depart from Judah? Now the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, until Messiah comes, there will be a ruler. And him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt, and a boy choice vine. He washes his garments in wine. Wine stains things, does it not? Revelation, the 19th chapter, talks about this. And his robes in the blood of grapes, and his eyes are dull from wine, his teeth is white from milk. His teeth, his eyes are redder than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. Whiter than milk. Now let's go into the New Testament. In the book of Matthew talks about the lineage of Jesus Christ, and it goes back to Joseph, through Joseph. And it talks about the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then in Luke, in the book of Luke, to Matthew we have the kingly line, to Luke we have the physical line of Jesus through Mary, his mother, the son of man, the son of woman. Now let's go all the way to the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 1. We're going to see this prophecy that Joseph, how the grace of God follows the people of Israel, and how the grace of God follows each and every one of us who believe. And a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman, clothed with the sun, and the moon under her, and on her head were a crown of 12 stars. Who do you think this is? This is Israel. And she had with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And then guess what happens? The old devil's trying to kill the Messiah, the Son of God. The Bible says in Genesis 3rd chapter and verse 15, he's talking to Satan. Jehovah God is talking to Satan. And he said, I will put active hatred between your seed, and that is the seed of Satan. Satan will really have a son. He will be the Antichrist. And between her seed, and that will be Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he said, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his head were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. In other words, this is talking about prophecy that Satan, Lucifer, took one third of the angelic and spiritual forces with him when he rebelled against God. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. He sent Herod, didn't he? Herod tried to kill the son. And God called him and told him to go down into Egypt. And he'd call him from there later. Then he went from Egypt, from Bethlehem to Egypt, and from Egypt to Nazareth. And he set out a root out of dry ground, I will call him. He was about to give birth, and when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God, to his throne. Now we go into a completely different thing. Now let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation chapter 19. Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus is telling his church. He says to Peter, you are a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundational rock, the rock of Israel, is Jehovah. I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he tells his church also in Matthew the 28th chapter, and this is the chapter that relates to Jesus as the king of Israel, as the king of God, that will rule on his messianic throne. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says, after you've been kicked out of Jerusalem, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things, and to guard them with the life that I have taken, that you have. Guard them with your life. And lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the age. Chapter 19 and verse number 11, Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he shall judge and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and he has hoarded many diadems, and he has a name written upon him that no one knows except himself. The name Jehovah, no one knows. Hathavar, or the Word, in the Old Testament, when they come to the name of Jehovah, they do not speak it. After Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for he shall require it of you. After that, they would not speak that name, but they'd say, Ha Thavar Ahashem, the word of the name. John, when he wrote the gospel according to John, in RK Ain Ho Logos, in the beginning, kept on being the Logos, the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. And then John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos sarx agenito, Kai ho logos sarx agenito. And the Jehovah, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John 1:18 says, No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, present tense, nominee singing and rasping present participle active of Amy, the one being in the bosom of the Father, he has led himself out, middle voice. Jehovah led him out of, led himself out of eternity into space and time. Now it says here, if we go all the way back to Genesis, the 49th chapter, and he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His clothes are redder than wine. Blood. And his name is called Hologos, Hathavar, Hashem, the Word of God. The Jehovah. John 1:1, 1:14, 1:18. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads out the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, Jehovah El Shaddai. These are his titles. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, Adonai HaAdonaiim. Adonai HaAdonaiim in Hebrew, or King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our Savior. All the way from the book of Genesis, we see his prophecy. And all these parables and figures of speech that we see here. The mouth, his sword, there is a mouth. In his mouth is a sword, a double-edged sword. And when he speaks, he slays. These are all figures of speech. But we have a true Savior. A true Savior. Thank you for attending this class online and all over the world. I pray that God will richly bless you with these studies of the parables of the Bible. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the parables that you've given in the Old and the New Testament, the figures of speech, the hyperboles, metaphors, allegories, similes, the riddles, all of these things. We thank you for all of this, that we will glorify you as it goes out into the world. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray.